Another interesting part of the thread I thought was the way you explained how depression felt to you. Mm. And you explained it that depression for you was not sadness, but it was more like an insidious kind of nothingness. And can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Yeah, one thing I was saying was like, if somebody says they're feeling depressed, it you know, people turn around and say, oh yeah, when my cat died, I was really bummed out. It's not a feeling of like really sadness of, for me it's not. And for many people have identified with that. Now, some people have said, you know, for me it is a deep despair and a deep sadness. And this is one of the things about depression, is it doesn't really take a normal form with everybody. But for me, and for many people have identified with the phrase of feeling nothingness, it's an inertia, it's just a lack of feeling. Mm. And it can be quite, I wouldn't say scary, because that would be a feeling in itself, but it can be quite disturbing when you know you should have felt something and there's just nothing there. Mm. I have some friends, kids drew me a picture when I was with them, and you know, to say goodbye, it's like, we really miss you, we love you, and they drew pictures of themselves and me with holding hands and big hearts and stuff, and they gave it to me, and I just stood there looking at it thinking, this is a picture with some drawing on it. And it robs you of those moments, and of both the ups and the downs, of the highs and the lows of life, and it can just become like a kind of a flat, yes, this is paper with some writing on it, and these are children, and okay. So I'm able to function, I'm able to convince people, I know the emotional response I should be making, so I can fake that, but I don't feel it in my heart, I don't feel it kind of deep down, and that is the scariest bit, because you don't want to tell people, hey, I'm feeling nothing, I'm feeling completely empty, or I didn't feel anything there, or so you fake it, and you get into the habit of faking it, and it becomes routine, it becomes second nature, it becomes first nature in a sense. You just you end up just faking emotions, and then you think, I need to keep hiding, and that's the worst thing. That's the bit people need to fight, is that feeling of, I need to keep hiding this. Because by talking about it, you unlock those emotions. You unlock the kind of the conundrum that you're stuck in. And for me, talking was great. It was huge. I told a couple of friends. They were very understanding. I talked to somebody who had depression themselves. I mean, there's 1 in 4 suffer depression. At those odds, if you talk to 2 people, you're 50-50 that one of them will suffer from it. So I talked to a friend of mine who said, I want to tell you, I have it bad too. And it was great. We just talked through stuff. I talked to my sister, who was great. And, you know, it became actually really almost weirdly enjoyable to get this off my chest and just... huge big breath, and there's just a feeling of 40 years of this, I can just dump it all now, I can just get rid of it. And starting the thread was scary as well, because I thought, well, now I'm about to tell everybody. I mean, this is not people who love me or who I love, you know, it's like this is complete random strangers, etc. And that in itself, well, I felt I'm strong enough now to talk about this with everybody. And but in actual fact, I thought I was going to be helping everybody, but the thread has hugely given back to me in ways that I can't begin to describe. And so many lovely messages from people, so many people who have written to me and said, you know, you've helped me. I was really at wit's end, and I've talked to somebody, and now I've unlocked this, and things are going better. And hey, you know, it's rough, but it's all getting, you know, the right direction, going the right direction. Mm. I've had one lady who wrote to me and said I was depressed because my eyesight was failing, because I wouldn't go to the doctor to get the operation because I was terrified of it. She said, people on your site have talked to me and, you know, helped me to go and see this, and now my eyesight has returned, and I can see, I saw the sunrise today, and I saw, and, you know, I'm listening to this stuff, and it's given me a massive boost myself, to continue to deal with it, to go to counselling, because I didn't want to go to counselling. No, I'm fine, I'm better. You know, you don't get better after a few weeks, Tom. So but I didn't want to go see a shrink. Oh my God, a shrink. And so I eventually got pushed to kind of into promising to go to see a counsellor. I walked into the counsellor. I didn't tell him anything about myself. And he said, look, let me tell you about me first. He said, and said, you know, I suffered for years from depression, and when I got past it, I decided I wanted to be a counselor. And I looked at this guy and I thought, okay, great, that's been really good too. It's been really positive, and it's really helped me. So it's not big, scary, oh my God, you have to go see a shrink. It's go talk to somebody who's a professional listener, basically. Talk to people, get out there, get up, get out, get on is one of my mantras. Is like, okay, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling blue, don't wallow, which is another one of my words, is like, just don't just lie there kind of going, oh, nothing's worth doing. You know, if nothing's worth doing, then fine, nothing's worth doing anywhere. So get up and get out, yeah, and get on to your mates. And talk to, and you know, and go to the cinema, or go out for a drink with them, or go somewhere, or find somebody and do something, and just force yourself to do it. And the sheer act of having to do it will often kind of begin the upward spiral, you know, and begin bringing you back to the light. Mm. And so it's really important to talk to people. It's amazingly fun, even though you think God's the last thing I want to do, but actually it's hugely relieving. And it's hugely beneficial. And yeah, it's just take a big deep breath and walk over to somebody you love and say, look, I need to talk, I'm not feeling great. That's it, that's all you have to say. You don't even have to use the big D word, you know. You can just say, look, I just don't feel like any of this stuff.
You're a great believer in exercise.
For me,
well, yeah, from the thread, for, yeah, exercise for you is a way of helping to alleviate when an episode is coming on. And you think that exercise creates maybe a chemical reaction that, you know, helps restore a balance in someone's head, or have you ever thought about it in that way?
I've thought about it in those sorts of ways. Maybe there's a neurotransmitter or something that's created. But I mean, I'm not a specialist in this stuff. I'm not trained it. But I know a lot of people have said that exercise works for them. A couple of people have said that it makes them worse. So it's important that, you know, you use what works for you.
Mm.
Diet, I'm told, is a huge part of it as well. Proper diet. I mean, 2 years ago, my diet was an absolute train wreck. I remember sitting there one day thinking that it wasn't good that my entire evening meal had been made by Roundtree's. And I was sitting there going back, sitting there looking at it going, there's nothing but sugar in this. And, you know, so I've cleaned up my diet and I moved that way. But, you know, mindfulness, being aware not to let your mind wander, stay in the moment, which for me is a huge task. Mm. So, but exercise for me makes me feel like a wholeness, like a body and mind connection.
Sure.
That isn't just, like, my body isn't just a vehicle for moving my brain around. I have a trainer who is a 17 stone, all muscle gorilla of a man. And if I'm not completely 110% paying attention, because I'm only 12 stone and I'm quite slight, if I'm not paying absolute attention, I will get the biggest box or kick you've ever seen. And he knows when my mind is wandering, when I'm not paying attention. So you're in a fight with a guy who's 5 stone bigger than you and is trained in this. You really do need to be there. You know, you need to be paying attention. Mm. So at the end of an hour, I'm physically exhausted and mentally exhausted from just focusing on this. And it's pushed all of my problems out to the verges, out to the outer defences, as I call them. And then they have to work their way back in again. And it takes them time. You know, it gives me peace and rest. And I'm so tired and I'm so focused on what I've been doing that I have this kind of period of just feeling wellness, of feeling I did something good for my body. I'm mentally at peace. I'm tired, but it's a good tired.
Yeah.
And those things are important. And all of my worries, all my thoughts, all the things in work, all the things at home, all the stuff I'm supposed to do, all that has all been pushed out, because you can't be thinking about them while there's a guy trying to hit you. And for me, it's a huge kind of cleaning, house cleaning exercise. So now, whether other people find it that way is up to the individual, but a lot of people have come back and said, yeah, that's something that I found, you know, go running or go swimming or go do something. You don't have to fight somebody like I do, but you can get that Zen moment of kind of just focusing on what you're doing right here, right now. And that's important. I think the mindfulness of right here, right now, and not letting your mind wander to all your problems and all of your issues and daydreaming. I think that's very much an important part of it.
We also see that there's a lot of mental health charities in Ireland. There's Sea Change, there's Mental Health Ireland, there's Aware, and there's a lot. There seems to be a lot of campaigns, both online and in the media, in the press, and on the TV, promoting positive attitudes to mental health. So, is there a societal shift happening, do you think, where people are more comfortable discussing depression and other mental health?
I think finally we're beginning to have a national discussion about this. It's something that's, you know, it didn't start 5 years ago. I mean, I remember my grandfather never left his bed, and he obviously had depression. Now, it was called his nerves back then, you know, and it was completely, nobody discussed it. My father has had it. You know, I've known people who've been taking medication like Lexapro and still denied that they were, you know, suffering from depression. And you look at them thinking, you're taking a tablet every day for this and you can't face the fact that you have this problem. So it's been there for decades. It's in the national kind of DNA. And slowly now we're beginning to have this conversation, which is more complex than, you know, saying either you're perfectly fine or you're in St. John of God's. You know, there's layers of this where people need to realize that it happens to people in society, that one in four suffer from depression, that we have a near epidemic of teen and young people's suicides. I mean, we're talking about Gay Burns on the radio every second day for traffic management, and yet we have people dying from suicide, many of which are not recorded as suicides because the family don't want the stigma of saying, oh, well, he committed suicide. So the problem is enormous and is vast and is not being treated. And there are some great people out there like Aware and Pieta House and people who are helping with self-harm and with depression and suicidal thoughts, etc. But we haven't had a national discussion about this to say, you know what, we have a problem. And we have a serious, serious problem in this country, and we have very poor social support, like health, getting to see a counsellor on the health system. You know, these things are critical, and we don't have an infrastructure really. Mm. We have people trying to hold together, sticking their fingers in the dike. Mm. But there is a big problem. But you know, we shouldn't have to rely on volunteers running a Twitter account in order to support people. And of course, there's the Samaritans and people like that. But we don't have kind of a national infrastructure, a support system. And it's very underdeveloped. And it is important that we start to talk about this, because we're seeing young people, you know, harming themselves, taking their own lives. And it's for the want of somebody saying, hey, it's okay, I get that too. You know, I know what you're talking about. If we just do that a bit more, and if people open up a bit more, and there's a little less stigma about it, and we discuss it, and, you know, hopefully be my desire that, you know, my thread does its little bit. And if everybody who has this can open up and say, hey, you know what, I get depression, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't like it. It's not nice. It's not something, not me belittling it, but, you know, it's okay. It's not the worst thing in the world. I haven't killed anybody. It's not some great big dark secret. It's just, well, I got depression. Yeah.
Tom, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today. For anyone who is inclined to use the World Wide Web, if you go onto Google and you type in the words "let's all laugh at people with depression," that will open up to the thread that Tom created back in December, and you can see for yourself the thread and the amazing amount of responses to the thread. So go and check it out.
Thanks very much.